Om Sam Saraswati Namaha, on page 329, and now the most preeminent secret. So there are three secrets, and of the three, this is the most preeminent. Presenting the three secrets of the 700 verses, Narayan is the seer. Anushtup, 32 syllables to the verse, is the meter. The great remover of darkness, the great goddess of true wealth, and the great spirit of all-pervading knowledge are the deities Mahakali, Mahalakshmi, Mahasaraswati. The application of the recitation of these mantras is to inculcate the qualities of this scripture. That's what it's all about. We're going to imbibe, inculcate. We're going to embody the qualities of the entire Chandipat. The king said, Lord, you have explained to me the manifestations of the energy that tears apart thought. O knower of wisdom, now please describe the principal characteristics of their nature. O twice born, I bow to you. Please tell me which intrinsic natures are to be worshipped and by which systems of worship they will be pleased. The Rishi said, remember, Medas Muni, the intellect of love, is sitting in his ashram describing the systems of worship to the king and the businessman. He's going to discuss the cosmic puja. That's the secret. To inculcate the attitude of the Chandipat, one will want to perform the cosmic puja. O king, this secret is extremely esoteric, and it is said that it should not be readily divulged. But you are devoted to me, and I find no cause not to tell you all. I want you to have everything. When you study the Chandi, take the whole Chandi. The Supreme Sovereign, the great goddess of true wealth, who is comprised of the three qualities, is the first and foremost of all causes. That's the four-armed Mahalakshmi in the center, Sarvas Adya Mahalakshmi, Triguna Parameshwari. She's first and foremost. The four-armed Mahalakshmi in the center. Her intrinsic nature is both definable and undefinable. And having distinguished all the phenomena of the universe, she resides within. She's pure sattva. She's pure being. She resides within all the creation. Laksha alaksha. She's both definable and undefinable. And now she moved into all that she has defined. She is the laksha, the definition. O king, she holds in her hands a pomegranate, symbolizing the unity of creation, the club, the shield, and a drinking vessel, and on her uppermost part, she bears the snake and lingam. A snake coiled around a Shiva lingam sits on the top of her head, which unites the male principal consciousness with the female principal energy. Her beauty is comparable with melted gold, and her ornaments shine like melted gold. She filled the entire nothingness with her radiant light. Now remember the 129th hymn of the 10th mandala of Rig Veda, the hymn of creation. There was not the existence of nothing, nor was there the existence of something knowable by the minds of man. That one thing breathed of its own will. And then the prapancha, all this became manifest. She filled the entire nothingness with her radiant light. Seeing the entire nothingness, the Supreme Sovereign, by the quality of darkness, assumed another excellent form. That form became a beautiful woman whose radiant body was black like soot. There she was, Mahakali. Her finely shaped mouth had large protruding teeth, her eyes were large, and her waist thin. In her four hands, she displayed the sword, the drinking cup, a severed head, and a shield with decapitated body parts, forming a necklace and a garland of skulls worn over her head. Having thus appeared, that manifestation of darkness, excellent among women, said to the great goddess of true wealth. So Mahakali is talking to Mahalakshmi. Mother, again and again I bow to you. Give to me my names and describe the actions I am to perform. Then the great goddess of true wealth said to the excellent lady of darkness, Mahalakshmi replied to Mahakali, I give to you your names and the various actions that you will perform. The great measurement of consciousness, the great remover of darkness, the great destroyer, hunger and thirst, sleep, desire, solely attentive to the battle, the dark night, the impassible. These are your names, indicative of the actions that you perform. One who knows your activity by meditating upon these names attains the highest happiness. O King, thus having spoken, the great goddess of true wealth, by means of her extremely pure quality of light, assumed another form with radiant luster like the moon. So here Mahalakshmi again takes on another form. This woman, this supreme woman, held in her hands the rosary of alphabets, the curved sword, the lute Orvina, and a book, and she too was given names. The great knowledge, the great vibration, the light of wisdom, sound, all the spirit of all-pervading knowledge, she who purifies with wisdom, creative energy, the cow who fulfills all desires, the womb of wisdom, and the lord of the mind. So here, Sarvas Adya Mahalakshmi, first and foremost was Mahalakshmi. And she was undefinable and definable, and she assumed the form of the creation and moved inside. And then, by the power of darkness, she became Mahakali. And then by the power of light, she became Mahasarasvati. So Sattva, Raja, and Tamaguna. She embodies the three, Triguna Parameshwari. And now she has distinguished them from herself. So now they're no longer in perfect balance and perfect harmony. One is always predominant over the other two. In samyavastha, perfect equilibrium, the three gunas are perfectly balanced. They're all contained within, and none is predominant over the others. As soon as that equilibrium breaks, then we speak of her as Mahakali, Mahalakshmi, or Mahasarasvati. Then the great goddess of true wealth said to the great remover of darkness and the spirit of all-pervading knowledge, goddesses, you both produce pairs, male and female, according to your natures. So all three of us, each of us, will give birth to a pair. And thus having instructed them, the great goddess of true wealth, Mahalakshmi, first produced her own pair, a male and a female of beautiful appearance, seated upon the lotus seat, having come forth from the golden womb, the first spark of creation, also known as Bindu. So Mahalakshmi gave birth to Brahma. Then the mother, the great goddess of true wealth, said to the male, knower of consciousness, systematic worship, shining one, creator. And she said to the female, ultimate prosperity, lotus blossom, goddess of wealth, and in this way gave their names. So Mahalakshmi gave birth to Brahma and to Lakshmi in the corner. Kamala. the great remover of darkness and the light of wisdom, Mahasarasvati, Mahakali, and Mahasarasvati, also produced pairs. I am telling you their names and forms. The great remover of darkness gave birth to a male who had a blue throat, red arms, a white body, and who wore a digit of the moon on his forehead, and also to a white female, Sarasvati. He is known as the reliever of suffering, the cause of peace, the permanent resident of matted hair with three eyes, while the female is called the three, knowledge, the cow fulfilling desires, language, letters, and melody. O king, the spirit of all-pervading knowledge brought forth a female of bright color and also a male who is dark. I am telling you their names. So here, Mahasarasvati also gave birth to a male and a female. The male is dark and the female is bright. The female is Durga, Gauri, and the male is Vishnu. The names, consciousness that pervades all, the doer of all, ruler of the senses, the god of true wealth, and the lord of existence apply to the male. The nourishing mother, she who is rays of light, truth, the energy that tears apart thought, the beautiful, excellent fortune, and the energy of infinite goodness apply to the female. In this way, the three young ladies immediately gave the form to the males. This fact, those who see with the eye of wisdom may understand. Other uninitiated people may not understand the esoteric meaning of this secret. But the three ladies who embodied consciousness and nature within separated their qualities and distinguished them. And suddenly there was a form of consciousness available to perceive each form of nature. And this is the esoteric meaning of this secret. The forms of consciousness are given birth to by the mother. Otherwise, there's one universal consciousness. And without the mother distinguishing the definitions, laksha alaksha, Lakshmi makes the laksha, and she distinguishes the form of consciousness, then there can be a Brahma, a Vishnu, and a Shiva. And this is the esoteric meaning of this secret. O king, the great goddess of true wealth gave the spirit of all-pervading knowledge to the creative capacity as a wife. So here, the great goddess of true knowledge, the true wealth, Mahalakshmi, gave her Saraswati to Brahma. So Saraswati married with Brahma, and they went to the house of Mahalakshmi. And that's why they're behind Mahalakshmi. And to the reliever of suffering, she gave she who is rays of light. So Gauri went to the house of Kali, of Mahakali, and she is with Shiva or Rudra. And to the Lord of True Wealth, she gave the ultimate prosperity. So Kamala Lakshmi went with Vishnu to behind Sarasvati. And that's the two top rows of the altar of the cosmic puja. So we have Shiva with Gauri, Brahma with Sarasvati, and Vishnu with Lakshmi. Shiva and Gauri are in the house of Mahakali. Brahma and Sarasvati are in the house of Mahalakshmi. Vishnu and Lakshmi are in the house of Mahasarasvati. Thus, the creative capacity with his wife, the spirit of all-pervading knowledge, gave birth to the cosmic egg. And the reliever of suffering, along with his wife, she who is rays of light, pierced the egg, causing it to crack. So here's this Brahmanda, this cosmic egg, which contains all the possibilities of all the phenomena of all existence to manifest. Brahma and Saraswati give birth to this egg, and Shiva and Durga crack it open. O King, within the egg were all the primary products, the capacity of the five elements to unite. Earth, water, fire, air, and ether are all contained within there, the prapanch, all that is comprised of five elements. And all this existence of movable and immovable forms came to be. Then the goddess of true wealth, Mahalakshmi, along with the consciousness that pervades all, Vishnu and Lakshmi, began to protect and to nourish creation. And at the appointed time, the great Lord with his wife, she who is rays of life, light will cause its dissolution. So then at the appointed time, Shiva and Gauri will cause the dissolution. Brahma created the egg with Saraswati. Shiva and Durga cracked open the egg, from which spilled forth all the possibilities of existence. Vishnu and Lakshmi protected it and nourished it. And at the appointed time, Shiva and Gauri will cause it to dissolve. O great king, the great goddess of true wealth is the ruler of all truth and of the quality of light. She is the inconceivable formless. And again, she is with form and is known by many names. Only her attributes can be named, and yet she cannot be explained by only one name. We can only talk about her, the phenomena, her attributes. And there is no one name that can describe her intrinsic nature. Remember in the Devyatharvashirsham, she was one and she was many. And she was all of this. And yet she couldn't be explained. She was undefinable, infinite, one and many. So she can't be explained by one name. And only we can talk about her names, her attributes. Om. Do we have any questions?
Can you try to explain a little bit how Kali becomes Saraswati and Saraswati becomes Gauri?
Kali gives birth to Saraswati.
But what's coming out the other side? What's the flavor of consciousness on the one on each of the ends?
Well, you can only see the light because of the darkness. Mm-hmm. Were there no darkness, you would never know the light. So here...
But Gauri is light, and Saraswati is from light of
darkness. Well, they're all forms of light. Kali is dark to the outside, which means she's illuminated within. That doesn't mean she dwells in darkness. Only she has created darkness over that which she doesn't want to see.
But there's something, Lakshmi gives rise to herself.
Yes.
On the top level, on the top shelf up there.
Yes.
And Saraswati give rise to...
To their opposites. Right. In this way, when you see Mahakali creating this darkness, within is light and knowledge. When you see Mahasaraswati giving birth to knowledge, she gives birth also to Gauri, who is rays of light. And in this way, the three ladies reproduce themselves in various forms with different attributes. Other questions?
Isn't there a subtle meaning to this?
There is so many levels of subtlety. But here we have she who is undefined has become definable. so that we can have a relationship with her. I'm not sure what level of subtlety you want to talk about.
Well, from Thomas comes, which is Kali, I assume, manifesting, perhaps meditation and peace and being calm. And from that comes knowledge, perhaps. So maybe it's got something to do with that. I mean, I'm just beginning to think about it.
Good. Well, let's keep thinking about it. As much as you churn, so much cream will rise.
It's not always cream.
I beg your pardon. Other questions, please. You see, there is Mahakali,
yes,
and behind, Mahakali gave birth to Shiva. Gauri married Shiva, and so the two of them are a pair in the house of Mahakali.
But I could not understand that Lord Vishnu and Lakshmi in the house of...
In the house of Saraswati. Saraswati gave birth to Vishnu. And Mahalakshmi gave birth to Kamala Lakshmi. So when Lakshmi went to marry Vishnu, they went to the house of Saraswati. And that's how we have the layout of the altar that we do. Any other questions? Please.
What were the lowest
levels? We'll get that in the next class. Please. Yes.
Is the meditation the recitation?
The recitation is a meditation. And by contemplating the meaning and the application, we go deeper and deeper into what this altar is saying to us. What is the esoteric meaning of this artistic portrayal? It's obviously saying something to us. And what is this whole Chandipat about, and how does the cosmic puja integrate into the Chandipat to make this alive for us? In the cosmic puja, we have just this Samasthi Upasana, we have just this map, which shows Dashanana Dashabuja, Ashtadashabuja, and Ashtabuja, Mahakali, Mahalakshmi, Mahasaraswati, she with 10 heads and 10 arms, she with 18 arms, and she with 8 arms in the front row. And then in the second row, we have Chaturbhuj, Mahakali, Mahalakshmi, Mahasaraswati, the four-arm forms that we just described. And then again in the top row, we have Shiva, Panchmukh, the five-faced Shiva, along with Gauri, Brahma with Saraswati and Vishnu with Lakshmi. Now, how does this cosmic puja integrate into the Chandi? That's what the secret is describing to us. How do you establish your altar? And how do you perform the worship? And what it means to us? How do we give birth to the forms of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva and move them all into that attitude of equilibrium, into that samyavashta, the consciousness of equilibrium. And that's where the meditation takes place. We move through the forms, and they become the doorkeepers, and they open up the doors to the secret. And we move into the esoteric meaning of the secret. Other questions? Please.
Another way to talk about this might be a subtle body and causal body.
Yes.
So that in this chapter, we're beginning with idea, thought, taking form of the subtle body.
Yes.
Giving birth to the cause.
Yes.
Is that another way?
That is another way. And in our next chapter, we're going to learn about the gross body, how it manifests in life. And then we're going to talk about how to worship it. And those are the three secrets. The gross body, the subtle body, and the causal body. And how do you move through the three bodies into nirguna? Gunatit. Beyond the body. Beyond quality.
Would you say the secret one more time? Just, you know.
The secret?
Would you say exactly what this secret is again? I mean, without, you know, getting too far out there.
How many words are left?
I know it's in that one, it's in line 25, but the way that the words come together is
Well, as it says here, the secret is that nature defines the form of consciousness. Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva are given birth to by the forms of Mahakali, Mahalakshmi, Mahasaraswati, who are all the attributes, the definitions, the definable phenomena, the definable forms of Mahalakshmi, who is pure sattva, pure being. Pure being who is pure sattva becomes tamas and rajas. And they give birth to Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. They give birth to Mahakali, Mahalakshmi, Mahasaraswati. Well, Brahma, let's call Brahma creative consciousness, and Vishnu preserving consciousness, and Shiva transformative consciousness. So let's not limit them to Sattva, Raja, and Tama. Let's say that they are being, becoming, and rest. They're the process of transforming every moment. Brahma is the beginning of the moment, Vishnu is the moment itself. And Shiva is the transformation as it becomes the next moment. Kala kashtati rupena. In the form of moments of time. Moments. Every moment there's a birth. So here, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva are being given birth to at every moment by Mahakali, Mahalakshmi, Mahasaraswati. And the three ladies are dancing on the stage of consciousness, Aim, Ring, Kling, Chamundai, Biche, according to their nature, because that's their nature. As they dance, they give birth to the male counterpart, which perceives that part of the dance. And when we are able to free ourselves from identification and just to become the witness, when we free ourselves from all attachment to the dance, then we become nirgun. We just, the witness, we become the consciousness, and not the dancer. And that's what the esoteric meaning of this secret is.
So isn't she the dance? Isn't,
yes, she's the dance, she's the dancer, and she's the consciousness that perceives it. However, we, as the audience, become so involved with the dance that we forget it's her that's dancing. We think, I'm the dancer. Look at me dance. Do you like that dance? Not really. No. All right. Well, we're constantly saying, look at me dance, all of us, with our every action. acknowledge me. And that desire for acknowledgement creates our bond of attachment. And when we're attached, then we're not free. We're bound to the action. So yes, she is the dance. And she is the dancer in reality. But how often, how frequently do we remember that? Don't we get very caught up in the dance? Occasionally. Then we lose our objectivity. We begin to react emotionally rather than objectively. So we make mistakes. And then we have to cover up the mistakes. Or what's worse is even we have to acknowledge them and go back and clean up the mess. And so most of us spend most of our time in crisis management, in damage control. And it's the most inefficient usage of our resources and time. If we could just think about what we're trying to accomplish and what our goal is, and make a plan, and think about what we want to achieve, and move methodically towards our objective, then we could save so much of those wasted resources on crisis management. We could save so much time that we devote to damage control. And that's what's called a sadhu, someone who's efficient. Any other questions, please?
What are you thinking about making objectives and kind of plan? Well, things never go according to plan.
Yeah.
So, it just creates more frustration if you just keep planning and planning and planning and nothing materializes.
Oh.
So maybe, you know, it's don't worry, be happy would be a better attitude.
Yeah, that's true too. That's the other side. Well, that's a pretty big if.
We can manage to do that.
Oh, that's a goal. Please, Ashish.
I don't know if I could even ask this question.
Thank God.
I'm going to try. You said nature defines the consciousness. When the nature and the dance stops, there is a consciousness, which means dance without dance, or why does the nature has to define it? Because it just doesn't make, it's hard for me to perceive that nature is the one which is defining the consciousness, as opposed to the consciousness defining the type of nature.
Consciousness is the mirror. Nature is the reflection. The mirror is always the same. The reflection is always changing. So without the presence of nature, the mirror is infinite. It just perceives and reflects infinitely. There is no definition to it. As soon as we have the presence of nature as a creative capacity, as a protecting capacity, as a transformative agent, we have a definition of consciousness, which is perceiving a particular aspect of nature according to the definitions of nature. And that's how she's giving birth to the various forms of consciousness.
birth to consciousness, and it's defining the reflection of consciousness.
Namaste. That's true. Consciousness is infinite. So this is a poetic way of describing that process. She's giving names to the various functions, but it's infinite consciousness. And that's why I said she's Laksha Alaksha. Namaste, Keith. Oh. And another definition just came in. Oh. That's a joy. Are you directly from London?
No.
Well, welcome anyway. Namaste. And nature becomes defined, and in the process, she defines the functions of consciousness. So in this way, the three ladies gave birth to the three gentlemen. Are there any other questions?
They're giving the secret for what purpose?
For you.
For what purpose?
So that you could learn how to worship her and learn what it means to worship her and describe her altar and figure out where to put the flowers and what they mean. They're going into the practicalities of what is all this about. So we have three texts that are really very tightly associated. We've got the Chandipat, the Cosmic Puja, and the Devi Gita. All three of them are really integrated into this holistic spirituality. The Devi Gita gives the philosophy. The Cosmic Puja gives the practical step-by-step. How do you do it? And the Chandipat tells the story and gives it a context. Where are we going with this worship? What are our goals? What are our objectives? How does it proceed? So you've got theory and practicality. And you've got a context in which it's situated. And the three books work very well together in harmony. The Devi Gita, the Chandipat, and the Cosmic Puja, the Samashti Bhasha. There are a lot of people I'd like to talk to tonight, individually and collectively. So I think we're going to end the collective part of the discussion, and I'd like to see everybody individually. Om Sam Sarasvati Namah.